This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganis Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Okay, let's get into this. Yesterday, I broke the law for the good of
you've trying to
not even mankind, for your kind. Yeah,
you're saying that you've helped me in a way that I don't see how, because I'm not currently enjoying anything that wasn't happening yesterday.
No, I know.
So.
Yeah. And you won't for a while. But I'm just looking at it now. In Australia, the crime I committed, there is a maximum penalty of 10 years in jail.
Okay, you need to get into what this was, because if it's going to benefit me, if it was for good, I need to find out what it was and then how does it benefit me?
Certainly wasn't for my good, because I get jack all out of it other than potentially 10 years in the slammer.
All right.
Okay, so yesterday you left work because you had an appointment that you needed to get to.
Yes.
So I was bumming around work trying to find things to do, looking like I was busy.
Yeah.
I remembered that on the weekend there was some paperwork we needed to fill out because we did that Master Kebabs.
Yeah.
We were down there chilling out, handing out the Ned and Josh kebab.
Yeah, shock horror, this is commercial radio. Yeah. So when you see us somewhere on a Saturday, there's a good chance money's been exchanged
exactly
for that.
Exactly right. So I had to do some paperwork. You had left, and I was like on a roll. I'd done two tasks, and I thought, you know what? I'm killing it here.
Yeah, right.
I wrote up a 500-word
I think I know where this
email.
Is going.
I sent that off. I spoke to someone about something we had to do.
Really?
Sorted that out.
Really?
So then I get to paperwork, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm filling out this paperwork. La-da-da-da-da. My name's Ned Bruard. Yeah. I work at Hit 104.7.
No, here's
where I work.
Timesheet. Yep.
Here's my timesheet. Here much how much I get paid. Needs to be signed by Boss Rod, which I got done.
Yep.
Signed by Boss Rod. Then it needs to be signed by me. Cool, no worries, signed it. And then I think, well, what kind of a jerk would I be if I didn't do Josh's at the same time? We both work the exact same hours.
Same money.
We both did the exact same money. It's essentially the exact same form, except instead of Ned Bruard, I write Josh and then you sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were gone.
Yeah.
Here's where the problem lies. I may or may not, in the eyes of the law, forged my friend's signature.
I understand.
I didn't pay. I'm not getting any money out of this.
You forged just my signature.
I'm like Batman, all right? I've broken the law for other people.
For good.
For the betterment of other people. What does Gordon say?
Any psychiatrist will tell you Batman's breaking the law for himself.
That's true,
but that's fine.
What does Gordon say at the end of The Dark Knight? Because he can take it.
Yeah.
Because he's a watchful guardian.
Protective soldier.
Yeah.
A dark knight.
Exactly right. That's me.
Screen goes to black.
Yeah, I'm a dark knight. I'm a watchful protector. I'm making sure my friend gets paid.
You're making sure we get paid. Yeah.
I took a photo of it. How similar is this to your actual
signature? Can I have a look?
Signature?
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
This is also illegal. I went through your desk to see if I could find anything you'd signed.
This is getting worse and worse.
You hadn't, so I had to just kind of wing it, but I've seen it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
How's this? Is that all right?
Oh, that is so close.
Really?
Yeah,
and that's
that
off memory.
So close.
That was off memory. I won't describe.
That is so close.
I was about to describe my signature.
Honestly, if someone could forge my signature based off Ned's audio description of my signature, you're entitled to the $73 that's in my bank account right now.
If I get sent to jail for 10 years, please use the money that you are going to get from working on the weekend to bail me out.
Yeah, I know.
Or at least send me a cake on my birthday.
You also told me just a second ago that there's a good chance you've accidentally put the wrong money on there. So
that's also true.
Now I understand why you were telling me that information. So you forged my signature and stuffed the money up. Damn it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
It's a lady who's broken some rules.
That's not good.
In the US, she stole something for 63 years and then took it back along with a $500 donation to apologize.
The statute of limitations was over.
Of course, I'm talking about nefarious criminal Betty Diamond of Madison, Wisconsin.
Cool criminal name, though. Betty Diamond sounds radical.
She'd kept a book for 63 years that she'd gotten out as a young girl, and apparently the quote here is, she was too ashamed to go to the library with an overdue book.
Yeah.
She felt embarrassed. She thought she was going to get into trouble, and so she didn't take the book back.
Yeah.
And 63 years later, she's finally copped to it. The book was 23,000 days late.
Jesus.
Yeah, so there you go.
What was the book?
The book it's called Old Paul or something. Like, it's an old book. And honestly, it's a book that you could lose pretty easily. It's like kind of little. They've actually got the letter that she wrote to the library to apologize next to the book. And the book is smaller than an A4 sheet of paper. So you could lose that book pretty easily. So
I would have liked it if the book was like a get rich quick scheme. She's like, I've had it for 63 years. Still poor.
Yeah,
so
still
what do
poor.
We reckon, guys?
It didn't work.
I'd like my money back, actually. I'll be paying no late fees. This book doesn't work.
You pay me.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is the part of the article I find the most fascinating thing. So the $500 donation she made to the Queen's Public Library says here more than covered the late fees.
What, $5?
$500.
Oh, $500,
sorry. $500 donation she'd made more than covered the late fees. I wouldn't have thought that for 23,000 days late.
That seems like...
Still under 500. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that seems like the... That's way off.
Well, it's... Yeah, it's going to cost them more money as a library to store that book, keep it safe from rain, keep it safe in like a humidified environment so that the paper didn't just mush.
Yeah.
Would it cost them more than $500 to do that for 60 years?
Well, that's it. They've got to hire employees so that no one steals the books. You've got to hire... like, you've got to pay for the electricity so
Betty
the
did them
scanners
a favor.
Go... Yeah, exactly.
Betty did them a favor.
She and was, then gave them $500.
She was looking after the book and then gave them $500.
Yeah, and honestly, the conversion rate doesn't check out for the late books that I've brought back to the library. Because I'll bring back a book like 3 days late and they're like, that's $5.
Yeah, you're like, what?
What?
How, what?
Yeah, exactly. If it's 25,000 days late and I'm paying $5 for 3 days late, there's something going wrong here.
Wait, let's just
maybe Tasmanian library prices are through the roof.
Let's just do some quick maths here. Yeah.
Don't do this to me. But yeah go.
I'm doing another calculator now.
Okay.
It was 1958 she got the book. 1958 is when she got the book. Oh. So this is why I think probably it was quite cheap, because maybe they were still using 1958 late fee prices.
Yeah.
Maybe before DVDs and CDs and stuff were stuff you could get from libraries, late fees weren't that bad. But now that people like keep a DVD or keep a CD, they've gone through the roof because they have to discourage people from just keeping DVDs.
Exactly right. They're like, we understand that this is a trust-based system because we're giving you something that costs $20 for $2. We need you to bring that back.
Speaking of trust-based systems,
yeah,
I know this is going to take a little bit of bravery, and you can stay anonymous. What is the latest book you've ever taken back to the library? Latest DVD you've ever taken back to a video store back in the day? Also, I'll take that as well. How late have you had an item out from somewhere? That's what I want to know right now on 13 10 60.
I 100% still have Just Stupid by Andy Griffiths, illustrated by Terry whatever, from 2006. I still have that.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
So I have
is that 15 years?
The Mickey Rourke movie The Wrestler from a Blockbuster.
Oh, so you actually have a movie?
Yeah, I don't understand how I didn't get chased down for that, because it was from a Blockbuster back in the day.
Yeah.
It's in my DVD collection. It's still got the Blockbuster logos and stuff all over it.
How ironic that the DVD outlasted the business.
Yes. Oh, that's sad.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Beverly is on the line from Watson. We are asking very simply, after a lady in Madison, Wisconsin, returned a book to her local library after 63 years of it being overdue. What's the longest you are aware of a book ever being overdue? Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, fantastic.
Brilliant, Beverly.
Now,
that's great.
Do you know somebody who's got quite an overdue book?
I do. Actually, it was my daughter. She went to a library. She came home. She cut the tag off. It was supposed to be taken back.
Oh, my goodness.
And I still have that book because I grew up the story in the book. Now, I can't tell you the name of the book because I was asked not to.
Okay, yes, no problems.
Yeah, you really are a...
In Sydney.
Okay.
Even when my grandchildren were little, I used to read it.
Can I ask you the question, Beverly, right now? This tag that was cut out, that was immediately done.
Well, I suppose so.
Pretty soon, So there was no intention of returning this book ever.
The second your daughter got her hands on that book, she's like, I'm having this forever.
Yeah, I can tell you, my mum is...
And unfortunately, she made you an accomplice to this
crime
as well.
You are now an accomplice, Beverly. And I just...
You're an accessory.
My mum is a former librarian, and they'd be very interested in having more of a chat to you.
104.7's Ned and Josh. You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I need to take a trip to Ned and Josh's etiquette school, where you and I try to navigate our lives through the world of politeness, being respectful to people.
Yeah, etiquette. Etiquette.
How figuring out the way the world works.
When somebody says, would you like to sign up for our rewards club?
Yeah.
How to not just swear at them.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to repress that.
Yeah.
Go, no, and there are 14 people behind me like there were 14 people in front of me, and you signed up 3 people and made this take 40 minutes longer than it should have.
Exactly right.
No, I don't want to join the club.
There is no etiquette. Potentially the etiquette school would teach you how to inflict the tone for a no that shows that not only... I'm not a member, but I also don't want to
ever
be want to
be one, and we're slowing everything down.
Anyway, yesterday at work, I met a new girl who works here.
Yep.
Whose name is Priya.
Yep, and she's lovely. She is working in the promotions department, and yes, I've only met Priya once as well.
She's fantastic. She's lovely. She was very bubbly, very chirpy. It was lovely to meet her. I was unfortunately doing work for the first time this year when I met her.
At the time. Yeah.
She was like, hey, I'm Priya. And I was like, hey, I'm Ned.
Yep.
Very nice to meet you.
Yep.
She sat down next to me. She was doing something on the computer next to me. And I was, once again, doing work for the first time. I then went to make a joke because she was talking to another person we work with. And I went to make a joke and say her name and I'd realized that I'd immediately forgotten her name completely.
Oh, dear. And I'm so like, upon first meeting, within the first 30 seconds, you'd forgotten Priya's name.
I want to give myself the window of 5 minutes, but it was very quickly that I'd forgotten. But the only thing that I had in my brain was like, I know it ends in an ah sound.
Yeah.
I don't know how or why, but it ends in an ah.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got to work with. And then I'm faced with a predicament that I would like to ask you about. Is it better to guess someone's name and potentially get it wrong or to admit defeat and just go, sorry, what was your name again? I've just completely blanked.
I think you could
Is it more polite to do? Which one's it more polite
to do? This is interesting, and I'm glad you've brought this to my attention this morning because I also would like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I have recently discovered that in my dealings as a human being, I am quite good at remembering people's names, but then have no confidence to back myself to say the name.
Sure.
So I'll meet somebody and say the guy's name's Tony. I'm like, I've met this guy. His name's Tony.
Yeah.
Or is it Troy?
Right.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good.
And he's like, yeah, good, thank you. And then someone else would be like, Tony. And he'd be like, I knew it. Yeah. I knew it was Tony. And I just should have backed myself. This is the same kind of a thing. If you don't know a name, I think you could probably, in this case, because you knew the ending of the name, maybe cough.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not good when you only have one vowel to work
with.
That
probably doesn't work. Actually, now I'm saying it out loud. I think what you could have done, because you were clearly looking at a computer when you first met her, you could have pleaded, I'm so sorry, I missed your name.
Was your name.
I was
again,
in the middle of doing this.
Yeah.
You could have blamed your work and asked the name again. I think that would have been fine.
That's not what I did.
Oh, dear.
What I tried to do was guess the name, because I was like, I know it ends in an ah.
Did you say Mia?
Nope. I said Freya.
Well, yeah, that's a fair guess too, though.
And she laughed in a way that I'm like, that was not her name.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I came clean and I was like, sorry, that's not your name, is it? It's Priya, isn't it? And she was like, yeah, it is. And I was like, so it was in my brain somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just, if there's ever a risk that's like, potentially I could come off here and no one will know that I was just kind of rude or disrespectful, I'm always taking that risk.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question because my thing, the reason I brought up what I was saying is because the confidence I never have it to just guess the name.
Yeah.
How bad did it feel when you got it wrong?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, see, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Hey, mate, how's it going?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh.
Yeah, Ned.
You've recently bought a place. You are own property now, which is very exciting.
Still waiting for a transfer document, but that's fine.
Right. Well, you were very much at the very end of buying a property, so you're pretty much there.
If anyone backs out now, I think there will be legal trouble. Yeah. So, I'm pretty much there.
I am still a traveling nomad. In that I pay rent every month and still very much have a place to live, but I don't own anywhere. So I'm looking in the market. I always keep my eye out, and I've noticed somewhere that's it's going to prick my ears a little bit because I'm like, imagine, that would be incredible. You actually can, well, I don't know. I think people are estimating how much it's going to cost to buy the first house on the moon, which is a lot.
Literally out of this world. That's what all the advertising is going to be. The advertising is going to be nauseating when they start selling property on the moon.
Well, I don't know if you can advertise for something that costs $61.85 million.
Holy crap.
People are estimating because of transport costs to get all of the equipment up to the moon, all of the equipment that you'll need up there, you're looking at around over $300,000 mortgage a month for 25 years.
I bought an apartment I was already living in.
Yeah.
And my conveyances, the thing they brought out for me to sign was like Barack Obama's biography and the Da Vinci Code back to back.
It's a huge document.
Imagine if you're... So once again, an apartment I was already living in.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had to sign over documents from a conveyancer for stuff on the moon.
Yeah, you're like, well, is it getting there?
Because we haven't actually in human history made enough paper to type up all the documents we need for you to buy something on the moon.
Funnily enough, we could climb the document you're about to sign and get to the moon.
Walk to the moon on the pile of documents you're about to sign.
It would also, it's such a leap of faith because, imagine paying $300,000 a month in mortgage for 25 years. Mm. Like, when people buy properties and they're building like land on a property, you obviously they're not building it, but they can walk past and be like, oh, the builders are doing that. I can see the foundation's been laid. It's all hearsay. Mm. How are you going to check on the moon?
Well, the other thing of this too is, like, as you said, you could go and check on it because you could drive to it.
Exactly.
You can't. There aren't a lot of space shuttles on the second hand. I'm not looking on Facebook Marketplace and going, oh, an old space shuttle. Yeah. That's handy.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. No, you're not going to be able to get to your land to see it. You're going to have to be only like if Elon Musk lets you hitch a ride or something like that.
What's Scotty Cam on the block? What's that called? A conveyancer? No, a contractor.
He's a contractor.
Imagine the contractor. If you're up on the moon, you have, like, imagine if all the boys want to knock off early on a Friday and mm-hmm. have some beers. You'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll just say we did the work.
Yeah.
What, are they going to check on us?
They're not going to ever be able to see this.
You know what? Screw this. Let's not do work for the rest of the month. We're done. They'll never be able to tell. And even if they do find out, they can't get up here.
I don't like that idea because at the moment, I know there's a lot of stuff that just permanently is on the moon, like the plaque that Neil Armstrong left up there, the flag, all that sort of stuff. I think there's golf balls from when they were playing golf. Yeah. But you know what we don't need? A bunch of empty iced coffee containers. We really don't need that. Just lying around. Yeah, no, we don't need that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
It's time to go shipping. Time to get on a cruise ship again. So here's
one from the 20s or something.
Yeah, well, that was a bit of a dodgy one, but one that was apparently 64 kilobits per second. But the point of the matter here is that the cruise industry is looking for ways to obviously get back on its feet post COVID.
Yep.
And they have suggested an idea that apparently the tickets are going to go on sale for very soon in the UK, which I want to change the name of first and foremost, but essentially it's a cruise to nowhere.
Yeah.
And that sounds very ominous.
It does. Yeah, that really sounds grim.
But what it actually means is you get on, it's kind of like the flights to nowhere. You get on the boat and just cruise around, drink, go on the pools.
I understand cruise more than a plane ride.
Yes, me too.
Because you can get up and walk around, you can enjoy stuff.
But it's only for vaccinated people. And it will not dock anywhere. It'll pick you up. You'll go on essentially a holiday at sea, take you close to the coast. You'll be able to see some great scenery.
Beautiful.
Get away from it all and then dock back in.
I like that. I do like that. Like I said, I like it more than the plane because for the plane, it's like you're looking out the window like, oh, wow, this is incredible.
There's no pool in a plane.
There's no pool in a plane. You can get up and walk around, but if there's more than five people getting up and walking around, the flight attendants are going to be like, hey, sit down.
Social
what are you doing?
Distancing. Yeah. What are we doing?
So I like this cruise idea.
I do too.
Whereabouts are they taking you? Do you know?
It's just on the coast of the UK. So that's
cool.
Because they're obviously vaccinating pretty quick over there.
Yeah.
My thing with this is that look, I don't want to get too grim. This is a good test to see if the vaccine works because cruise ships haven't had the best run with infectious diseases and COVID. So
it's been quite hard for them.
A pretty good way to be a test case for the vaccine.
Yeah.
How much does it really work?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. But the other thing, I'm all on board for this, literally, pun intended.
Good. Yeah, good.
And this, I think, correlates quite well yesterday with my wanting to go on a train trip.
Mm.
Apparently, as long as the people I'm going to be on holiday with are all over the age of 60, it's a holiday I want to go on.
It's because once again, without being too grim, those people aren't taking unnecessary risks at the moment. So it's like if this is exclusively marketed towards people who are in their 60s, chances are it's going to be pretty safe.
You know what I like about, I think I've worked out what I like about this particular clientele as well, and this is going to be a sweeping generalization, but like when things annoy me, I look around usually at people my own age and they're not annoying you, like annoying noises or like kids like crying repeatedly or whatever. But I look at someone who's 60 and they're over it as well.
Yeah, they're like, shut up.
And so I think if I was on holidays with it'd be the most peaceful, quiet holiday you possibly imagine.
What an awful cruise that is. Just a bunch of old people really grizzly and over the world.
Oh, it sounds like a great cruise
to
me.
Just
relaxing. And then knowing my luck, Andre Rieu will be on board. And it'll be pandemonium.
It'll be beautiful.
It'll be like One Direction.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
It's time for us to get a little bit mysterious this morning. We are in the middle of the mystery mention. Basically, the way this works is one of us leaves the room. Somebody on the phone gets to decide who. The person on the phone will then be given a mystery word. They need to hide that word in a little 30-second story. If they can hide it from the person upon return to the room hearing the story, they will win dinner at PJ's in the city. Val from Belconnen, how are you?
Hi there. I'm good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, good. Thank
you, Val. Very good, thanks, Val.
All right, you need to pick one of us to leave the room. Who's it going to be?
Ned, please.
Ned, off you go, mate. As we always say, you are closer to the door, so this does
only by like 5 seconds.
It's also my birthday, and I don't want to stand up, so that's good. Very, very good. I'm going to have to leave this chair eventually. It's a good point. Val, would you like a mystery word this morning?
Yes, please.
The mystery word this morning is umbrella. Okay?
Okay.
All right, then. Come back into the room, Ned. Yeah, come back in. What else would I be yelling at you?
Well, I barely
Ned,
heard.
Ned was literally out there just like, huh? And I'm like, what else would I be yelling?
Well, I only heard the very
Why
end
would I be yelling at Val? What could Val have possibly said in that time that I'd now be screaming at a listener
on the
phone?
I only heard the last millisecond of the yell, so I thought like you and Val maybe were like having a laugh
no,
or whatever.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Val's all business. She knows the word. We're ready to go right now, Val, with the mystery mention. Take your story away.
Yes. When we were on the plane to Tonga, we got off the plane and there was a hailstorm. Mm. And during that hailstorm, there was no umbrella anywhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we quickly got our jumpers out and just had to go under it. And luckily, we got in before it got really bad.
Okay. Val, beautiful story there. Absolutely beautiful. A lot of layers to it. A lot of things there where you could have hidden mystery words. I like that a lot.
Here's my train of thought because this will either raise the stakes or it'll make me sound like an idiot. It's either hail, umbrella, or jumper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, one of those is your guess. You have to lock in one though. Only one.
Which one stuck out to me the most? Jumper. No, I'm going to go umbrella.
Whoa.
He's done it.
He's done it, Val. It was such a good story.
Incredible, Val.
Oh, my goodness. But yes, unfortunately, Ned, just a little too sly this morning.
I can't explain to you how close I was to just picking jumper.
Do you know what the good news is, Val? You win dinner at PJ's in the city anyway for playing and for having such a great story. So thank you very much this morning, Val.
Thank you very much.
No problems at all.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, some president news. Champ and Major Biden are both of the presidential dogs.
My mic's not on.
Oh, your mic's not on. There you go.
They're both dogs that are German shepherds.
Sorry about that, mate.
God, if I'm going to complain
really don't
about
do the show just by myself, so thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Well, also, if I request that my mic be turned on, I should probably come to the table with more than, and they're both German shepherds. Really shows how much I contribute to this show.
But they are. You're right. You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's just not that interesting.
One of them's a rescue dog, and the other is a dog they've had for like 12 years.
Right.
So one's the old boy, and he's Champ, and then Major's the new rescue dog.
Yeah.
Now, President Biden has been asked by a journalist, I guess at the end of a press conference. I can't imagine this was question number one.
Yeah.
Because this happened like 3 weeks ago.
People aren't clamoring to ask him about his dogs.
Biting incident, the rescue dog, and President Biden was asked about him, and it was said basically, is he out of the doghouse yet? Ha 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 ha.
Good
ha,
job.
Play
very
words,
good.
Whatever. And President Biden said, no, we've had to put him down. No, I'm kidding. That's not what he said.
He's out of the doghouse in that he doesn't live anymore.
Yeah, no, he's back in Delaware, and President Biden said he was never in the doghouse. He's a rescue pup.
Yeah.
He's had a bit of a troubled past.
Yeah.
We're helping him learn better habits. The biting incident didn't like pierce the skin. It was an incident the security guard understood, and we sent the dog to Delaware. And now, and this is my favorite part of the story, he's working intensely with our dog trainer. So not only has Major Biden been sent away from the Richie Rich mansion of the White House that he got to live in, but now he has to go to school.
He's going to school to
learn how not to bite Secret Service stuff.
We spoke about it when this happened, but Champ, the other one who didn't bite anyone, the older one, he's got to be so pissed off that he's been kicked out of the White House.
Yeah, because he's away from mum and dad. So he's away from Joe and Jill Biden.
Exactly right.
So first and foremost, he's already been punished there. But secondly, he's left the mansion. And now I would say he's at school as well.
Well, they would send him to school as well. And he's like, I know this. I didn't bite anyone, guys.
I certainly know that if someone's carrying a gun, don't bite them.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
I'm not biting Secret Service stuff.
Yeah, pay attention, Major, right? I don't need, this isn't for me, Major. This is for you.
I was around when Dad was vice president. I understand how this works. I feel so bad. But at the same time, this is great news because that probably means eventually they're on their way back to the Richie Rich mansion.
That's true, yeah. They're being sent away to boarding school and they're going to come back all proper. They're going to know they're going to use their P's and Q's.
I'm very excited to see how long it takes Major to pick it up.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see that because this dog trainer would be feeling more pressure than any dog trainer's ever felt in the history of training dogs.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104. 104.7.
We stumbled upon the idea of we could do like one of those $4.95 per minute things where you call and ask about your star sign.
Yeah, like the psychic lines that you can get. But very much a joke because I think I ended up by saying for $50 a minute.
Yeah, which we didn't have time to set up. But anyway, still, Emily's on the line from Caldwell right now. So we really could have been making money already. Emily, how are you this morning?
Yeah, good. How are you? Good,
very well, thanks, Emily. Look, honestly, I said this very much as a joke. I didn't think you were going to call up. I'm guessing you want to know how likely your star sign is. So what's your star sign?
Well, I'm definitely a Pisces.
You're a Pisces. Well.
Emily, Pisces is the only one I read out on air. This is the only one you didn't need a call for.
Those statistics don't seem right.
Yeah. Oh, right. You're pretty unlucky.
You've never won the lottery?
No.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, well, this
I would say go out and buy one, but I don't think I'm legally allowed to say that.
No,
so.
I wouldn't. Yeah. The thing I would say here, Emily, is when's your birthday? Because mine's today. I'm a Pisces as well. How close are you to birthday day?
I was last Friday.
Last Friday.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, very good.
So very close.
Maybe this is a lucky time of year. Yeah. I don't know. But I've never won the lottery either, so yeah. I'm calling bull on the whole thing.
Anyway, you've called up, Emily. It's 14.3%. 14.3%. So
thank you very much, Emily.
That was the Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh podcast.
Podcast. John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.